receive that, I want you to applaud Jesus. Okay, can we do that? One, two, three. Great. It's my privilege to introduce to you Jordan. He is better known as the man who kicked the first hole in the wall. We still need to send him the invoice. Jordan, we're so honored to have you guys here with us, and it's amazing just to the kind of energy that you guys bring, but your love for Jesus is overwhelming, and we honor you for that. We honor you, the team. Thank you for sending so many different teams to us. They're a team of 36 people, so they stay at Carmel, and they go different places. They're going to Nisna. I think you're going to Riversdale also. Yeah. Do you know Riversdale?
Yeah, we went there yesterday.
Oh, you went there yesterday. Yeah. And they're busy with a revival meeting in Taus Ranten, I think that's what it's called. So they're all over George. So yeah, let's stand and let's honor them, because they bring a gift from God, and they are a gift from God.
Yes, thank you guys so much for having us. It really, really is an absolute honor to be back here in South Africa. It's completely worth the 49 hours of traveling to get here. Not bragging or anything. Yes, we endured 49 hours to get here. No, but it was all worth it. We for the joy set before us, we endured the plane rides and the lack of sleep. Hallelujah. So, yeah, it's really an honor to be here, like I said, and I came here last year, and it was one of my favorite services to do. It was a blast, and that was not only because I got to destroy public property, so which is always fun. No, I'm just kidding. Don't go and do that. I'm kidding. But yeah, it was a lot of fun, and actually, what you guys don't know, it was more than just an accident. It was a prophetic act, because first in the natural, then in the spiritual, God is breaking down walls in this place. Hallelujah. So, come on. That's awesome. Well, I just want to invite my team up here really quick. I'm going to introduce them to you guys so that you guys recognize their faces when they come up and pray for you, so you're not like, who's this weird person touching me? So... yeah, I'm just going to pass off the microphone. They'll say their name, where they come from, and very short, brief, powerful, what they're excited for in South Africa. So,
hi, I'm Hannah. I'm from Colorado in the United States, and this is my first time to South Africa. So far, I love it, and I love all of you guys because you're amazing. And it's really awesome to be in your church. I just instantly felt, as soon as I came into this church, that you guys have worked really hard to pave ways that nobody else has paved before you. You guys are just a pioneer church, and you're forerunning, and the Father is blessing that. And I just saw the Holy Spirit just show me a picture of a dove, which represents his Holy Spirit. I just saw the dove just breathe in this place, and he came, and he just landed. And Bill Johnson, our pastor, usually just likes to talk about the dove resting on your shoulder, just representing the powerful, tangible presence of God. And he's coming. He's here. Like, you guys host him so well. And the things that you guys are hungry for is coming. And you guys are doing such a good job stewarding your hunger. So we just bless you.
My name's Caleb. Whoa. My name is Caleb Knowlton. That's the power on that microphone. I came here last year, so my second year in South Africa. I love it so much here. Actually, when I saw Amo the other night, I got really excited. I was like, oh, man, I love being here. And then when I heard I was coming to Shofar today, I just got really excited. I am from a small town in Washington State in the United States. I'm not going to say the name because it doesn't matter. You won't know where it's at. About 1,000 people live there, and they're all spread out, so it doesn't even matter. So, but one thing I wanted to let you know is that yesterday I was with a team, and we went on top of one of the mountains here, and we were interceding over George and praying. And the one thing that I have seen, and I saw it with my eyes, is that there was a light coming out of the city. And I mean, it was in broad daylight, and this light was shining, and other people could see it as well. And what I heard is that, like in the song, it said, darkness is just a canvas. You know, the darkness is just a canvas. And you know what? When the light shines, the darkness has to run. So I'm just letting you know that there's a light coming out of George, and it's actually going to influence all of South Africa. So blessings.
My name is Andrew, and I hail from a place called North Idaho, and it's just 45 minutes from the Spokane Healing Rooms that John G. Lake started. And there's definitely some power there, and I was able to just soak in that, and many ministers coming there. And I've just started getting excited. I was talking to my brother Marius over there, how excited I am for this church and just what this Pastor Amo is doing here, how he's just created an atmosphere that he's just given to the Spirit to do whatever he wants through here. And I'm just so excited to see the power break through in each and every one of your lives as you transform this city, and how it also becomes like a place like Spokane, Washington, which was called the healthiest city in the U.S. because of the power of God that healed people there, hospitals being cleared out. I'm really excited for what's going to happen in George, South Africa. And it's going to happen through each and every one of your lives. Bless you guys.
Hello, my name is Teo. I am from British Columbia, Canada. And I am just super excited about this whole trip. There is such a tangible hunger here. And at Bethel, heaven on earth is like one of the mottos, and it's like, that's awesome, that's a good goal to it's an excellent goal to shoot for, and you can like imagine it. But here, I feel like heaven on earth is a soon-to-be-realized reality. And it's just so encouraging and exciting to be here.
That's good. Thank you guys very much. You can sit down. Awesome. So now you guys know the team. How many of you guys already love them? Raise your hands. They're awesome. No, that's exciting. So I'm Jordan. I am one of the co-leaders of the mission trip here to South Africa. I interned for Daniel Newton. I don't know how many of you guys know him, but he's the leader of this trip to South Africa, and he also is overseeing something called Grace Place, which is a discipleship housing back at Bethel. In the School of Supernatural Ministry, students come, they come live at our house for the year, and we speak into their lives and we pour into them, and it's amazing some of the testimonies like that come out of that place. I am a living testimony of that place. I am also an intern in Grace Place, and I oversee the second year housing, which my main man Caleb, he is one of the second years in the house. He is an anointed man of God that you guys are going to be extremely privileged to hear from later on today, this morning. So, hold on to your seats because it's going to be whack. I want to let you guys know what I'm excited for. I'm really excited for the limits to just be taken off in this place, for people to understand and step into that realization of Christ in you, the hope of glory, that it's not just a pretty phrase, that it's not a cool thing to say, you know, on a microphone on stage. Like, how pointless is all of this, what we're doing, if God is not in the midst of it? Because it's just nice words and cool phrases. Like, you know, I can have a lot of really cool rhymes and one-liners that make everybody go, whoa, that's awesome. But, you know, if it doesn't actually lead to change and breakthrough and mind renewal, then what's the point? And so that's what I'm really excited for, is because I'm not just up here speaking on a microphone saying nice things. That this is truth. This is truth. This is living. This is life. This has the ability and the power to change lives. Not just what I'm saying, like, because this isn't me. None of this is me. This is the gospel. This is what God has revealed to his saints, to all of us. And this is what God has spoken. And it is alive, and it is powerful, and it has the ability to change, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing through bone and marrow. Boom. Dividing soul and spirit. It's powerful stuff. And it's life-changing. And I really am just encouraged seeing all of you guys and the potential that each and every one of you has. And that's kind of something that I would just want to really quickly exhort you in, is that you guys have so much potential. This church has so much potential. Okay, let me just back up here. So I'm preaching the gospel right now. How many of you guys know what the gospel means? Gospel means good news, right? So if you guys hear good news, if you guys are hearing good news, feel free to get happy about it and excited. If somebody comes to you and is like, hey man, you just won a free car. How many of you guys are going to freak out? I'm telling you guys that you've won more than a free car. Come on. You have won free reconciliation with the God of this universe who has all things and who has given you all things and who indwells you. Is that not exciting? Is that not good news? I think that's pretty good news. I personally think that that is really good news. That is the gospel. Come on. So you guys can get excited. I allow you. I release you, please. We're Americans. We're known for being loud. It's okay. You just stepped into America now, so be loud and obnoxious. It's fine. So just be loud with us. Well, come on. So anyway, what else? Oh, yeah, potential. I see potential. Say, I get off of that rabbit trail. I see so much potential in each and every one of you. And the thing about potential is that it has everything to do with God. Look, okay, when you look at a baby, how many of you guys love babies? I flippin' love babies. They're awesome. They're adorable. But you know what they're good for? Nothing. Pooping and napping. That is my experience. That is what babies are good for. So other than that, you know, they're cute to look at, but they're not great at mowing the lawn. They can't really do chores. When they try and sing, it's not good. So they're not entertaining to listen to. Sometimes they're hilarious because you're like, what are you doing? What? But they, you know, they're not practically speaking. They don't do a whole lot. They're not really good for that much. Can I just encourage you guys? Babies are not really good for a whole lot. Don't worry, I'm going to bring this around. I'm not going to leave you there. Everybody's worried, like, why is this man insulting babies? What does he have against babies? But the thing is about babies is that we don't love them. We don't just love babies because of what they are and what they're good for and what they can do for us. I mean, let's be honest, because they can't do a whole lot. We love babies because of what they can be, of who they are, regardless of what they do, because they're not doing a whole lot. We love them based on just who they are, because they're a baby and they're adorable, and I love them. You know, we don't love them because they're good at things. We love them because they're babies, and they have so much potential. And when you look at a baby, you can be like, this baby has a clean slate. They have the potential to be anything they want to be. They have the potential to be the best singer in the world, to be the next, wow, Billy Graham, something like that. Come on. Caleb loves Billy Graham. So, and you're probably going to see that when he preaches. But they can be the next professional rugby player, Brie. Hey, you. So they could be the next president of whatever, the United States or South Africa, you know, but they're not right now. But they have the potential to be. And that is how God sees you. Even if right now, even if you're not like, you see all these people and they're like, oh, they're so prophetic. They're walking in so much healing. They're walking in all this stuff. Like, oh, Bill Johnson sees so much healing. Like, I don't really see that much healing. You know, God doesn't love Bill Johnson more than he loves you. Bill Johnson doesn't have more Jesus in him than you do. I'm saying this not as an insult to Bill Johnson by any means. He is an amazing man of God. He is incredible, one of the most humble men on the earth, in my opinion. But he doesn't have any more Jesus inside of him than you have inside of you. He doesn't have any more ability to do all the things that he does than you have inside of you. You have been given all things through Christ who strengthens you. You have been given all things. You have that ability. You have that potential living inside of you, that untapped potential. You're like a nuclear bomb ready to blow. And you have the ability to. And God isn't looking at you and being like, what's he doing? He's good for nothing. He's not prophesying. He's not healing the sick. He's not raising the dead. I told him to do those things. He's slobbering and crying and pooping. Like, whatever. I'm just going to leave him alone. God's not doing that because he's like, oh, do you see the potential that they have? Angels come here and look at this. This is my son. This is my daughter. I love them so much. Oh, do you see what they did? Oh, they're trying to prophesy. It's so cute. That's awesome. It's like they got it wrong, but hey, they tried. That's awesome. You know, God's not looking at you as like, why aren't you getting it right? What the heck? Okay. I gave my son for you. I've given you all things. Why aren't you using it? God, you terrible. God's not looking at you like that at all. Can I just encourage you guys that it has nothing to do with you? That it has everything to do with what Christ has already done. That you are his son, you are his daughter. It doesn't matter how much you perform, how great you are at prophesying, healing the sick. That is completely and totally based on God and his goodness, and he loves you regardless of that stuff. Whether you ever see anybody healed or anything, God still loves you just as much as he would love you if you were. He doesn't love you any more or less because you're doing more or less for him. And that should encourage you, like that doesn't make us get complacent. When we realize how vast and expansive the love of God is, then it encourages, it makes us just want to love him back. And it makes us just want to do that stuff. So that's what I'm really excited for being here. Like, I'm excited to see you guys step into your potential and to realize just, you know, how amazing you are regardless. And when you do, and that, you know, if any of you are feeling kind of like that shame or condemnation, like, oh, I'm not performing well enough, like Pastor Amo was talking about, I'm not doing enough as far as healing, I'm not prophesying enough, like, that's garbage. I am excited for you guys to realize how amazing you are regardless of all that stuff, and then that just encourage you to just go for it. You know, I'm excited to see all of the amazing testimonies and miracles that happen because you guys realize just how great you are and how much God loves you. So that is what I'm excited for in a few short words. So, yeah. Anyway, I'm really excited to be here. I'm excited for what God is doing in and through your lives, and I'm excited for what he's going to do. And right now, I actually just want to invite up an amazing man of God who you have already met and who I have told you, of kind of spoiler alert, told you that he's going to preach today. But this man is a fiery prophet of the word of God, evangelist, prophet. He's amazing. He's got such great revelation, and you know the best part about him is he's just such a great lover of people, that all of the stuff that he does completely flows out of just his love for God and his love for people. It has nothing to do with him trying to do something to prove his ministry, to prove that he's some anointed prophet or whatever. He just, like, people see that on him because of how he loves, and they call it out, and they're like, oh my gosh, you are a prophet. He doesn't try and make it happen. It just happens to him. But I'm really excited to hear this message because I know that I am personally going to get rocked by it, and I also believe that you guys will as well. So please put your hands together and join me in welcoming Caleb Knowlton.
Well, thank you, Jordan. Don't make me cry. How's everyone doing today? Good? Okay, so I do this usually when I speak on a Sunday. Can I have everyone please stand up? And I call these Sunday morning stretches because, you know, we've just had a long week and we're going to be starting a new one. So just start stretching your arms. Like, do whatever you need to do. Just get it all. Just stretch, stretch, stretch. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, you guys can sit down. You're welcome. Actually, I was really excited when I heard that song come on of like, come, Lord Jesus. Jesus, come. Because the Lord's actually been speaking to me about something. And before I actually get in my message, I wanted to read you something from the Bible. It comes from Isaiah 44. So if you want to go there, you can. Some people would see Isaiah 44 as the scripture of God's wrath towards those who worship idols. That's not what I'm telling you guys today. So get that out of your head. If you see a little footnote, don't listen to that, okay? Go to verse number 2. The Lord who made you and helps you says, "Do not be afraid, O shofar, my servant, O dear George, my chosen one. For I will pour out water to quench your thirst and to irrigate your parched fields. And I will pour out my spirit on your descendants and my blessing on your children. They will thrive like watered grass, like willows on a riverbank." Amen. That's a good word. Now, please go to verse 6. You don't have to just follow where I'm reading. "I am the first and the last. There is no other God. Who is like me?" So there's like the little like call. God's saying, who's like me? Step forward if you're like me. "Who is like me? Let him step forward and prove to you his power." I just want to let you know something before I get into the message. That even Pharaoh's magicians could not compare to God's work. I mean, they could try at first. I mean, if you saw the Prince of Egypt, they use like little clay things and the snakes just eat them and they're gone. I mean, like, nothing can compare to the love of God. And even when Moses, by the power of God, split the sea, the magicians couldn't do that. They gave up a long time ago. So I'm just letting you know that nothing can compare to God's power. "Let him do as I have done since ancient times, when I established a people and explained its future. Do not tremble. Do not be afraid. Did I not proclaim my purposes for you long ago? You are my witnesses. Is there any other God? No, there is no other rock, not one." Let's just give a shout of praise to God, because there's no other one but God. Yes, thank you, Father. 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 Then down verse 12, "The blacksmith stands at his forge to make a sharp tool, pounding and shaping it with all of his might." We have someone who's working. "His work makes him hungry and weak. It makes him thirsty and faint." In John chapter 6, verse 35, it talks about, "If you eat my bread, you will never get hungry. And if you drink my water, you'll never get thirsty." So right here, Jesus in John chapter 6 just said, "I am the first, I am the last. And yes, your work might get you tired, but guess what? You don't have to work in my presence, because my bread and my water gives you strength and it gives you energy. You will not get faint. You will not get weak." That's a good word. That's a very good word. Come on. All right, now I'm getting into my message. Now I'm preaching. Okay. So when I say God is good, you say all the time. And when I say all the time, you say God is good. So God is good. All the time? Amen. So I have a message today for you, and it is called Family. The foundation of revival. Let me tell you something. At Bethel, I'm going to use Bethel as an example because that's where I'm from. Bill Johnson has done an incredible job by sitting there and not making the show about him. Because let me tell you something. If it's just you, if you're just alone, let me tell you something. You're going to fall, and you're going to fall hard. If it's just about you, if it's just a one-man show, which it shouldn't even be a show, you're going to fall hard. The Lord is going to humble you pretty well. But Bill Johnson has built a family, and he doesn't care about, they stand like that Jesus Christ is Lord. I mean, like, you know, they have the foundation of what they believe. But he doesn't let pesty things like eschatology and I don't know what else is out there that causes churches to split. Like, he doesn't let that get in the way. He cares more about family. He cares more about relationship. That is what I'm preaching to you today. Is because if you do not have a family, who else are you going to run to? Like, who else are you going to hold on to? I mean, a powerful family is just as supernatural as seeing a lame man walk, as seeing a blind man see. That is, like, family is that supernatural. So don't just think that when you're seeing someone heal, you know, they're doing healings, like, oh my gosh, that person is so powerful. Then out of nowhere, they just fall. Like, family is just as supernatural. Don't think of it as less. Yeah, do not think of it as less. Okay? So my name is, that's the introduction. My name is Caleb Knowlton. As Jordan said, I am from Tenasket, Washington. And I am just so privileged to be here. I already said it. I saw a light and coming out of George. And I believe that's what's going to happen as I preach today. You guys are going to be filled with hope. You're going to be filled with life. You're going to be filled with light. So let's just go into prayer. So please bow your heads and join with me. Lord Father, we thank you so much. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much that Shofar is going to be known as a place of family. We thank you so much that it's going to be known as a house of revival. We thank you that they're going to be able to heal the sick, cast out demons, heal the lame, heal the lepers. They're going to give freely as they have been given freely. That they're going to be known as a house of family, and that you don't need to be fixed before you come to church. You come to church, meet Christ, and you will be fixed. We thank you that that is what Shofar is going to be known for. And we bless your holy name. Amen. All right, so please turn to Matthew chapter 3. We're going to go to verse 13 through 17. Now, when I read from the Bible today, I'm reading from two different translations. I just want to let you know. So if I start saying something you don't see it in your Bible, just know. I'm reading from the NLT and the KJV. So Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. Then Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. But John tried to talk him out of it. I am the one who needs to be baptized by you, he said. So why are you coming to me? But Jesus said, it should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires. So John agreed to baptize him. I kind of like that. They're kind of like, no, I don't want to baptize you. You need to. It needs to happen. Okay, fine. You know, I think they're cousins. So there's a good thing about family. They didn't get in too big of an argument. So after his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were open. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, setting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my dearly loved Son, who brings me great joy. Okay, some say, like, this is my Son with whom I'm well pleased. So as you see, like, God is pleased with his Son. The Lord is a Father who is pleased with his Son. Did you know that you are his sons and daughters? Did you know that God says the exact same thing from heaven? He says, you are my son, you are my daughter, with whom I'm well pleased. I mean, if you need an example, read John chapter 17. God sits there and says, Jesus says, as I am one with the Father, I am one with you. Like, we're all connected. We're one big family. I don't know what their names are, but they sing, we are family. You know, like, That's what heaven and earth is singing. We are family. Come on. So I just wanted to give you an example of this. I love my dad so much. And I think it's so funny that it's God saying to his son, this is my son with whom I'm well pleased. My dad says the exact same thing except different wording. When I was in high school, I played band. I did the trombone. And I also played the piano. So at piano recitals at graduation, my dad would always yell something out before I did anything, before I'd even play. My band teacher would get so fed up because it was like, here it goes. 1, 2, 3. And then he would say, attaboy, Caleb. You know, it just was like out of nowhere. It just was like, what? And my band teacher would just be like, oh. One more time. 1, 2, 3, 4. And then she'd get into it. Like, she tried to beat my dad before he could say it again. I just loved it so much. My dad sat there and said that before everything. And later on in the message, I'll kind of explain why that's really important. But my dad told me, attaboy, Caleb, this is my son with whom I'm well pleased. The other day, all right, it's a couple weeks ago, he called me out of nowhere. And he said, I just wanted to let you know that I love you and I am very pleased with you. I'm like, oh my gosh, that just makes me want to cry. You know, it's just so good. I'm emphasizing this because it is important to know who your father is. I mean, like, who's your daddy? It's God. He's your father. He is your father. Can everyone say, he is my father? It's important to know who your father is so you know who your siblings are. I want you to know that my siblings is this church. You are my brothers and sisters. And when I say I love you, I actually mean I love you. Like when I came here last year, I was introduced to brothers and sisters I hadn't met yet. They were just out there and I hadn't met them. And then I met you guys and I fell in love with this place. I fell in love with this church. I got so excited coming here because I get to see my brothers and sisters once again. And I was excited to see what God has been doing since last year when I came. It's also important to know who your dad is so you know nothing can stand in your way. Because as a family, we hold each other up. Like, unless it's a dysfunctional family, I have never met a family where when their kid falls, or their husband falls, or their wife falls, or their grandma falls, they aren't there to sit, and I know grandma's falling because my grandma fell this winter. And so it's like the family automatically runs to them and picks them up. They're there to hold each other up, and that is the importance of family. That's what I'm trying to get across today, is that nothing can get in your way. Nothing can get in your way. Just repeat it after me. Nothing can get in our way. Nothing can get in our way. Listen, nothing can get in your way as a son and daughter of God. Please turn to 1 John chapter 3. Does everyone here know that they're a son and daughter of God? I don't have to emphasize it anymore. No, I'm just... I just want you to know, like, a huge thing that I like to preach is the sons and daughters of God, as it says in Romans 8 that creation is groaning for the revealing of them. So creation right now is groaning for a family to reveal themselves as the children of God. Like, sitting back in church just in four walls is not what creation is groaning for. Creation is groaning for us to walk out. And I'm so glad that's what happened yesterday with this church, is you went out to the mall and you preached, you prayed, you prophesied, you saw healings. Like, that's what creation is groaning for. They're groaning for us to reveal ourselves. You guys are doing it. And it's so awesome. So please go to chapter 3, verse 1. 1 is a great place to start. See how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children. And that is what we are. But the people who belong to this world don't recognize that we are God's children because they don't know him. Dear friends, we are already God's children, but he has not yet shown us what we will be like when Christ appears. But we do know what we will be like, what we will be like him, for we will see him as he really is. And all who have this eager expectation will keep themselves pure just as he is pure. This family is pure because we are knowing what Christ is coming back for. He's coming back for a pure and spotless bride. Like, that's what's happening. So we're keeping ourselves pure as a family. Everyone who sins is breaking God's law, for all sin is contrary to the law of God. So every sin, doesn't matter what it is, it could be stealing candy from a little candy shop. And you know that Jesus came to take away our sins, and there is no sin in him. Anyone who continues to live in him will not sin. I want everyone to hear that. If you continue to live in him, you will not sin. There's a huge supernatural thing, a part of this family. As God's children, you will not sin if you live in him. Because Jesus doesn't sin. I mean, I heard someone say this. I just want to say it. Who here knows that they're perfect? Is Jesus your identity? Is Jesus perfect? So who here is perfect? Yeah, all the hands should be going up. Because if we are saved, if we believe in Jesus, then our identity is in Christ. We are perfect. I know it sounds weird, and someone would say, that's heretical. No, it's not. It's very biblical. Jesus came to wash away our sins, and he calls us his sons. He doesn't sin, so how can we sin if he is our identity? Dear children, don't let anyone deceive you about this. When people do what is right, it shows that they are righteous, even as Christ is righteous. But when people keep on sinning, it shows that they belong to the devil, who has been sinning since the beginning. That poor guy, he doesn't know how to get it right. But the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. Amen. Those who have been born into God's family do not make a practice of sinning because God's life is in them. I just want us all to give a shout of praise right now because his life is in us. Just lift it up, saying, thank you, Jesus, that your life is in me. Thank you, Jesus, that your life is in me. Thank you, Jesus, that your life is in me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. I mean, he died on the cross. He died on the cross to give us his life. He died on the cross to make us like him. It's only by way of the cross that you can be saved. Only by way of the cross. I mean, like, It doesn't matter what you've done or who you are. You cannot be saved unless you come to Christ. And you will not be changed unless you come to Christ. I don't know if anyone here who doesn't know the Lord, but the Lord wants to know you today. And he wants to bring you into his family. So they can't keep on sinning because they are children of God. So now we can tell who are the children of God and who are children of the devil. Anyone who does not live righteously and does not love his brother or sister does not belong to God. I just wanted to give an example because that part, I was seeing it. It was like the brothers and sisters. It's when I, before I came to Bethel, or because like the Lord transformed my life last year. Before I came to Bethel, before the Lord touched my life, I'll tell you what, my brothers and I, we had arguments like no other, and it would be like, who's going to play the Xbox next? It was ridiculous stuff. Like, we were not one. You know, we were not a really tight-knit family. Okay, so here's the deal. I'm going to give you a little backstory. My brothers are wrestlers, and they're a lot more. I have a belly. Everyone can see it. I stick it out far. Everyone can see it. But, like, the whole thing is that, like, they're a lot stronger than me. And I remember one time, one of them picked me up and threw me on the ground, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. And then, like, one time I got punched in the face. I'm telling you, like, that's, and look at me. I can't really much defend myself. I'm kind of like, leave me alone. But I'm just telling you, like, the relationship with my brothers was not a good one. Everyone, like, we're the sons of my mom and dad are pastors, and everyone, like, at church is like, oh, your kids are so great. And my mom's like, oh, you don't know how much I want to strangle them sometimes. You know, it's just like, you know, bless my mom, bless her heart. Anyway, so, but my relationship with my brothers changed after last year. And my brothers just like, it was actually last year after Christmas. It was the first time. And when we're babies, we're all trained to say, like, say I love you to your brother, although he just pulled your hair. Like, you know, it's like, say I love you. Last year was actually the first time my brother said they loved me during Christmas. And I'm more of the emotional one. I say I'm more like my mother. I just cry during everything. But when I went home and I hugged them and said I love you, I want to say that it was actually really awkward to hug them. Because it was the first time I ever hugged my brothers in a very long time. I actually remember before coming to Bethel, my brother said, I actually am glad that you're leaving because I won't see you for a long time. And that broke my heart. And after coming to Bethel, I came home and they said, like, we love you. We don't want you to go. They saw a change. And that's what the love of God does, is that he changes your heart, that you're able to go to your brothers, go to your sisters. And this isn't just talking about your brother and sister that was born in your family. I'm talking about Pentecostals. I'm talking about Assemblies of God. I'm talking about Charismatics. I'm talking about Lutherans. I'm talking about Catholics. I am talking about, you name it, the church, the body of Christ. They're your brothers and sisters. And you don't have to agree with everything they say. I'm not telling you to agree with them because I don't agree with my brothers on everything. But I will tell you this, that I no longer want to argue with my brothers. And actually, this summer, I went home, and I preached in a Baptist church, and I'm someone who is into healings. Like, that makes no sense. I'm up there preaching about healings, and they're like, amen, come on. And I'm like, this is so funny. Like, I don't even know how this is happening. I even got to the place where I prayed for a Catholic. There was a couple of Catholics that went to a revival service of mine. His chest hardened up, and the Catholics then invited me to go to their confirmation service where people get baptized in the Holy Spirit, and then they invited me to a prayer service because there was a huge wildfire that went on in Washington back home and destroyed three towns, and they wanted me to come in there and pray with them. See, the Lord is unifying the body of Christ. You don't have to necessarily agree with them. Don't let them know, like, oh my gosh, you're crazy. Don't tell them that. And we all have crazy uncles. Don't tell them that. Just sit there and be like, you know, hey, I love you. And I encourage what the Lord is doing in your heart and in your church. Yeah, you might not like some things they might have to say, but you encourage them because they are your brothers and sisters. Serving one another is also key. How can you say you love someone if you can't serve them? How can you? Yes, I love you. Okay, you can do that by yourself. Goodbye. Then you just leave. I'm not going to leave. No, but the, how can you do that? How can you say you love someone and not serve them? How can you not lay down your life for someone? I mean, it says, for husbands, love your wives. As you know, Christ loves the church. You know, I'm waiting until I'm 33. So I'm like, Jesus, I can lay down my life for a wife. No, that's a joke. That's a joke, okay? It's okay. Ha, 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 ha. Okay. So please turn to 1 John. We're already there. Chapter 3, we're already there. And go to verse 16. And we know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. What was I just saying? I wasn't really joking. I was being truthful. So the Lord is wanting us to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. We are to serve them. We are to lay down our life for them. We are supposed to be able, when someone is getting persecuted, I haven't gotten to that point where someone's beating up someone for the gospel, but I want myself to see, that's my brother, and I want to stand in there right now. I want to give up everything for them so they can walk free. You understand? That's what God is wanting us to do, to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. It's not, you can take it as I'm going to do the dishes for them. For the persecution of the gospel, I'm going to do the dishes. It's like, no, the Lord is you are to lay down everything. You're not supposed to think of yourself before others. You are supposed to help them so that they can also walk in the same power. Come on. Verse 18. Dear children, let us not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. Jesus was the greatest example of this. He laid down his life for his friends. We are his friends. He didn't just come here to earth to say, I love you. For God so loved the world that he sent me to die for you all. But my death isn't going to be physical, actually. It's just going to kind of be me, doing the dishes after communion one night. And then I'm just going to waltz right off. That's not it. He so loved the world. So we were part of the world before we were part of heaven. He so loved the world that he gave his one and only son that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He brought us into his life by laying down his life for his family. We are his family. God calls us his children. I can't get this across. Family is so important to God because that is how he sees us. God sees us as his family. So guess how we should see each other? We should see each other as family. Actually, if you are part of a family and you're sitting next to your families, actually, can you hold hands with each other? Bethel family, you guys just hold hands with each other. If you're part of a family, please hold hands. If you are married, please hold hands. I actually hear the Lord just wanting to release something to this. Church, family, doesn't matter. If you're part of a family, please hold hands. I actually see the Lord right now, he's building up a tower right now. He's building up a tower right now in the families, right now. The Tower of Babel, God split everyone apart so they couldn't talk. At Pentecost, God also brought tongues and everyone was unified. I see right now that the Lord is bringing unification right now into the families. Bringing unification right now into the families of George and to the families of Shofar. Right now, Lord, I'm just prophesying right now that 2015 is the year that Shofar rises up right now in the name of Jesus. Shofar is rising up right now in the year of 2015. That they are going to be a beacon of hope. They are a city set on a hill. They cannot be hidden. They are the salt of the earth. And the Lord is rising you up right now, Shofar. The Lord is rising you up that you are going to be the example to the nations. You're going to be the example to George. You're going to be the example to South Africa. That families are not falling apart. Families are thriving. Families are growing. And the church is not falling. The church is growing. Nothing can stop us when we are the sons and daughters of the living God. Nothing can stop us when we are the sons and daughters of the living God. The Lord is building up a tower right now for all to see. For all to see. We're that city set on a hill, and everyone is going to look to you, shofar. Everyone is going to look to you for hope. But just know that your influence isn't just going to stay in Georgia. Your influence isn't going to stay in shofar. You are actually going to go out to South Africa. You're going to go out to South Africa, and everyone is going to be transformed by the love that you have for your brothers and sisters, for your wives and for your husbands, for your grandmothers and for your grandfathers, and to your children and to your nieces and nephews. The Lord is building up families, and you don't have to worry about them falling apart ever again. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Amen. Yeah, that was good. That was really good. Now I'm sweating. I'm like, oh my gosh. Please turn to John chapter 19. Verses 25. Jesus was even showing how family was such a huge core value on the cross. Verse 25, standing near the cross was Jesus' mother and his mother's sister Mary, and Mary Magdalene, a whole bunch of Marys were there. When Jesus saw his mother standing there beside the disciple he loved, he said to her, "Dear woman, here is your son." And he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from then on, the disciple took her into his home. On the cross, Jesus was showing how powerful family was. He was showing us how powerful. And that Mary was now John's mother. Okay, like Jesus was just showing that we are all a family on the cross. That's what he did. Please turn to Matthew 3:17. We were there earlier. We're going back. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my dearly beloved son who brings me great joy." Do you know what comes right after this scripture? Look down in chapter 4. What's happening? The temptation of Jesus. God told Jesus, "You are my son with whom I'm well pleased." Because in the very next chapter, Jesus goes out into the desert, led by the Spirit, and Satan tempts him. And I want to say something today. The Lord came upon Jesus and said, "You are my son with whom I'm well pleased." That he can go into the dark situations. He can go in there. And when the enemy says, "Oh, you are not a son of God," he says, "No, my Father says he is pleased with me. I know who I am. I know my identity." We are able to go into the dark situation. So if there's a dark situation in your family, say, "Sorry, I belong to the Lord." Psalms 91:7 says, 1,000 shall fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee, for the battle is not ours. The battle belongs to the Lord. The Lord is fighting your battles. If you're going through a struggle in your family, the Lord is fighting your battles. And as a family, when we have this identity that the Lord is fighting our battles, we will not be shaken. We will grow. In Acts chapter 2, you can turn there, but in verses 42 and 40 through 47, the church is selling everything and living as a community. It's living as a family. And guess what happens? The family doesn't shrink. It doesn't get shaken. It grows. It actually brings in other believers. So I'm letting you know right now that your family life and that this church, by living as a family and being committed to each other and knowing that if one falls, we're there by their side, you will see growth in this area. You will not see the kingdom of God get smaller. Matter of fact, the Bible says that it grows and grows and grows, and it will never stop. Okay. Amen. So we're going to do some prayer and some impartation. We're going to have a couple people share some testimonies really fast. But so would everyone please stand up with me? Just stand up really fast, and if the team could come up. We're just going to start releasing some testimonies about the Lord and how much he loves us as his children. So we're going to go first with Hannah. So please share a testimony about family.
Hello. So something that I wanted to share was growing up, I didn't understand who I was in the Lord, really. Like, I thought I knew who I was, but I didn't understand how it related to my family. I just thought, wow, my family does not know who I am. So, you know what? It's just going to be God and I. You know, it was pretty much just God and I growing up, him and I against the world. And as I got older, I started realizing that there was a gap between the Father and I, that I was growing so much closer to him, but then there was just something missing, and it was because of this gap between literally my family. I really felt like I was the outcast. I really felt like I was, you know, the one on the outs. And the Lord started moving my heart, and he was like, Hannah, do you realize you can't come closer to me until you understand what's going on with you and your family, what's going on with you and your parents? And so I was like, oh my goodness, I cannot have anything in between me and the Father. And so I just started really pressing in and pursuing who my family was, which was so hard. It was so hard because I grew up thinking this one thing of they are this and I am this. And the Father started saying, Hannah, do you understand? You are this. You are this. And your parents are this. Even though they're not acting that way, they are this way. And so I chose to start seeing them, even though exactly what they were doing was exactly contradicting who God was saying they were, I chose to see them as that, and I started speaking it to them. And I started praising God, saying, God, I know that I am this, and I know that they are this. And things started to change. Things started to change, and the presence of God broke out in my family. And I can't even tell you the change that started happening, especially in me, but in my mom and in my dad and in my siblings. It was just the entire thing started shifting because I had chosen to lay down my right to be right and to start seeing them for who God said they were, not for who they were acting like.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. And now Teo is going to share a testimony about finances.
Finances. Okay. As you can see, I am standing here in South Africa, which is thank you to God and his provision. There was 8 days left, and this was the last extension possible to get your money in for missions, and I had $1,100 left to go and no way to get that money at all. And so I sent out an email to a bunch of people, and I think my family helped a bit with, like, telling some people around in our church in my hometown. And all of a sudden, small bits of money just kept flowing in every single day. And, like, people were just pouring in. And by the end of the day right before the due date, all of it was paid off.
Mm-hmm. Now, Andrew is going to share a healing testimony.
Who believes in the power of healing in this room? Amen. Do you guys all know who John G. Lake is? Wow. Well, I got a phone call this last year about my grandfather, who's in his 90s, and he had fallen, and he had broke his replacement hip. Not a good thing when you break your replacement hip. Anyways, so we had to go see him. He was driven down to a hospital. He had been in a bed for 2 weeks, and they weren't able to start performing surgery on him because he had shingles. And he had shingles up in the groin area. Anyways, they had quarantined him. If you don't know what that word is, it's they put him in his own separate room so that whatever he has doesn't get passed on to everyone else. So there was a room where you dressed down and you put on gloves and you put on a gown and you get all ready to go into the next room where my grandpa is. And I hear this testimony of John G. Lake. He said, put this killing virus on my hand. It'll die on my hand. And sure enough, this virus dies on his hand. Same thing. I go into this room. I'm not dressed down in the gown. Everyone's getting mad at me. I'm like, I go up to my grandpa. He's looking at me with his grumpy, stubborn face. He's like, you're not wearing your gown, Andrew. Are you not afraid of me? I'm like, no. He's like, good. Anyways, praise God. As they checked up on him, they found out that the shingles
was totally gone. They were able to go in on the surgery because at first they weren't going to do it, because had the shingles gotten into his bloodstream, it could have killed him. The shingles itself alone, before getting into his bloodstream, could have killed him. Anyways, as I was walking down for lunch, because my dad was there, and my brother was there, and my mother was there, this is just a great time of family. I love how you're talking about family. My dad tells me, because my grandmother passed away right around 9/11, and he had to make a call of whether or not my grandma goes in for the surgery. So my dad was a part of the decision making, and my grandmother passed away. So same thing. My dad's having to make a decision for my grandpa, whether he should go in for the surgery or not. He's telling me, Andrew, what would you do in this situation? And I said, well, Dad, the first thing I would do is ask your dad if he knows the Lord. And if he doesn't know the Lord, we tell him about the Lord. And whatever happens, just don't blame yourself. Because we've all lost people. Anyways, he said, that's great, Andrew. So we asked my grandpa if he knows the Lord, and praise God, he knew the Lord. He goes through the surgery with only a 6% chance of living, and he comes out totally good. They said that he wouldn't be able to walk again or use a walker. He's up on a walker now. Praise God. Amen.
All right, so now we're going to go into some ministry time, and we would love to pray for all of you. We would love to release breakthrough from healings to finances to family. So if you would need prayer, I'm going to pray really fast over everyone, and then we're going to invite, if you need prayer, to please come on up here. And the ministry team's up here. I want to pray for you, so don't be shy. So everyone, please close your eyes. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much, Father, for this place. Lord, we thank you so much for families, that you are bringing us all together as one, as the family of God, and as our own family, that we are strong. Yeah, Father, and we are just praying against divorce. We're praying against child abuse. We're praying against alcoholism that might destroy families. We are praying against every single thing that might come against your family, Father. And we are saying that this place is whole. This place is whole. This is a place of holiness and righteousness and purity. And nothing like that can interfere with the families in this area. And we bless your holy name, Father. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, Jesus. So as I said, we're going to start praying for the families. I don't know if like the worship team can get up and play music or something, but we just want to invite everybody up here. So come on up. Come on up.
Don't be shy, people. Okay, well, what I also want, if you're a small group facilitator and you're not joining, you're not coming up for prayer, I want you to come stand with and pray with so that we can really learn from them. I think it's amazing to see what they have and what they're giving away, and we can learn from them. Okay, so families, financial, we're going to do
anything.
Families, financial breakthrough, healing, and anything. Okay, so please come forward. If you need victory in your life, we trust that God can do it in one encounter. One encounter. That's all God needs, and He can bring that to you. And I'm just feeling there's a, like you're a young guy in church, and God's calling you, and He's saying, I want actually you not to hear the voice of the Lord through your father. I need you to hear it straight from me. And God's calling you forward, and He's saying that you need to respond to that now. He's going to start speaking to you, and you're going to start sharing with your dad, and you're going to start sharing with your family. Who of you is it? Maybe it's a little on the spot, but I strongly feel that there's a young guy in this church. Okay, so if you want to respond, please come forward. We just need somebody to break the line. Who's going to come first? Azayaku, Sunay. And if you're not coming forward, can you pray to God and ask God, God, who should I invite for tonight or tomorrow evening or on Tuesday evening?